of the steel monopole helps minimize these impacts by allowing installation of the poles without guy wires and minimizing the overall footprint. In addition, these structures allow a 1,000-foot spacing between the poles, which help limit the overall impacts. Farm equipment will need to maneuver around the physical structures for seeding or harvest, but again, with 5 structures per mile, this helps limit that impact. And we also recognize that aerial applicators may need to modify their approach or fly parallel with the line for spraying.
And what compensation will landowners receive for disruption of land use during construction?
Besides the permanent easement payment, we may arrange for temporary construction easements if required. We also pay crop damage payments. We pay for the first year of damage, and we have follow-up payments for subsequent years. We also pay land damage payments for non-tillable land, very similar to crop damage payments. And we also pay for gates and reconstruction of fencing if it is damaged during construction.
And what are some of the benefits of the project?
Primary benefits are access to increased base load generation to accommodate our future demand and load growth, and the additional grid reliability. We also see long-term state and local tax payments that help fund community needs and infrastructure. These payments go to school districts and fire districts. We also anticipate job creation for the construction phase of this project. The construction team will include 200 to 250 construction workers at our peak time. And we anticipate that approximately 40 to 60 of these positions would be local hire opportunities, which may include the concrete supply and batch plant work, civil work for road construction and maintenance, the tree clearing and fence construction, and also non-specialized labor for traffic control and the land restoration process. Other construction stimulus to local economies include expenditures for product and services, such as hotels, restaurants, and fuel from local suppliers.
And based on the studies and analyses conducted and on the testimony you have presented today, what are some of the conclusions Minn Kota has reached regarding the proposed project?
We believe this project is the best possible solution for delivering the additional baseload generation to Minn Kota's service territory, and also improving the reliability of the region's electrical network by solving a known voltage stability issue in the northern Red River Valley. We also believe through the required federal review process, which included in-depth environmental review and numerous opportunities for stakeholder and public input, Minn Kota has developed a viable 1,000-foot wide corridor. This proposed corridor meets North Dakota's siting requirements and will result in the least overall impact of the alternatives considered. In addition to providing the additional baseload generation and grid reliability, the project will bring long-term economic benefits through state and local tax payments and short-term stimulus through construction jobs and related expenditures.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Sagsby.
I apologize if I missed this in your testimony, but what was the width of your macro corridor study?
The macro corridor was based on several 6-mile-wide sections. So there was some areas that were wider than 6 miles, but every area of the corridor was at least 6 miles wide.
And you indicated that a 6-mile corridor would be a step backward. And you indicated a number of reasons. One, because other utilities, or the corridor could be used by other utilities. Is that one of the reasons?
It's our understanding that once a corridor is approved, then that corridor may be used by other projects without going through the corridor review process.
And so another reason was that smaller is better because you could provide a more detailed analysis overall in the entire project?
Well, that's correct. By, selecting 3 viable routes in the environmental assessment, each one of those routes met the North Dakota PSC siting criteria. So we did an extensive analysis of that six mile wide study area by selecting those 3 routes, and then the further analysis of determining which one of those routes provided the least overall impact also provided that continuing narrowing of the research.
Is it your opinion that the areas that were studied varied to such a degree that there was a large variation within 1,000-foot segments, or was it more of a 6 mile from mile to mile, it varied to a significant degree, the land in the farmland areas, or was it more of a larger base?
Well, I think the macro corridor study, you know, identified, you know, the constraints in the overall 6 mile wide area. The challenge is to narrowing that 6 mile wide is to find routes that minimize passing, you know, within 500 feet of occupied residences, and also avoiding the avoidance and criteria.
So under some circumstances, a wider corridor may not be a bad thing, wider than 1,000 feet.
Well, certainly not at the beginning of the process to identify which areas of that corridor would support a route that meets the North Dakota PSC siting criteria. So,
if you had a wider corridor in some circumstances, it would give you a little more flexibility if you needed it.
That's correct. In this separate process where
I don't think I asked a question on that.
Okay.
But I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Lean.
No questions. Thank you.
Questions from the commission. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. In hearing your testimony now three times, I feel the need to clarify something with regard to this topic that you're just being examined on, specifically to the letter requesting guidance and the commission's response to that. I want to be clear that in the letter from the commission clarifying this request for a 1,000-foot corridor, you've referred to advice or preference, and the letter refers to a preferable approach. Is the preference for a 1,000-foot wide corridor application from the commission a preference to a wider corridor application or a preference to a 1,000-foot route permit application?
The specific guidance was, we asked to consider a 1,000-foot wide route during the route permit process, and the commission, and that was based on the difficulty of presenting to the commission at the route hearing time, you know, the exact pole placement for each pole during that, and in a combined process, that's the level of detail that you required. In the separation of processes that you asked for, we then asked for this 1,000-foot wide route consideration, you know, so that we could present that data and give us the flexibility of working with the landowner as we continue to secure landowner easements for that final pole placement, so that through the hearing process that data wasn't required. After considering that request for the 1,000-foot wide route, your recommendation was to request a 1,000-foot wide corridor during the corridor application as the preference over the 1,000-foot route.
All right. Thank you. I have nothing further.
Further, Commissioner Cock.
Just I guess a question for Molly, if you will. When we talked before about this, were you going to be submitting a summary of public comments?
Yes, we did, Commissioner. We submitted that. We filed that, I believe, on Tuesday. I also have copies with me if you want that, and it is a summary of the topics, and it shows then the numbers for each.
So I need to grab that from, did you look through that yet? Okay, we'll take care of that. All right, thank you. And I did have one question, I guess, for the witness. If you heard me talk to the previous witness about benefits from folks within about 75 miles, give or take, of this region, what benefits would you say that residents around here would get from this transmission line?
Well, I think any investment in a transmission asset of the size of this project benefits the whole region. Typically, you know, the transmission system is a shared infrastructure. You know, we keep track of energy that's basically put into the electrical grid, and we keep track of energy that's taken off of the electrical grid. But anything, you know, in between, the region basically benefits on a region-wide basis from the additional infrastructure. The addition of this asset does change the flow of electricity on all the other transmission assets. So there may be benefits that can be identified through study that shows that additional capacity on existing lines may be the result of the addition of this transmission asset.
Okay, what about, Mike, you talked about the benefits for sales tax, or not sales tax, tax payments, jobs. Would those also be shared by this region as well?
That's correct. We pay on a per mile basis, so each county is calculated, and that goes back and is distributed on a per county basis.
Okay, thank you. That was all I had.
Further questions from the commission? Commissioner Kramer.
This is just for information, but ironically, I was in Candu last weekend and bumped into a Towner County Commissioner that wondered if we could reroute it through Towner County for that very purpose, but I said no.
Any further questions, comments by the commission? If not, Ms. Smith, refresh my recollection. This summary of public comments, did we identify that as an exhibit for the hearing at the previous hearing?
We did not identify it as an exhibit. We indicated that we would provide it. We can provide it as an exhibit, but we're not intending to file it as a formal exhibit.
Commissioner Kock, did you request that information as an exhibit to be part of the record?
Well, that was some of the, I guess, the clarification. I didn't request it as an exhibit, but I did want to see the information. I guess as long as the commission received it and we can include it in the record, that was my only concern.
Well,
and so that's a then, part I don't know that.
Then you should proceed to offer it, please.
Yes, sir.
And while we're on the, Your Honor, the discussion. Okay.
Let me
finish.
We get confused. We're not real good at multitasking and hearing.
That's what my wife tells me too, Your Honor.
Yeah. Well.
And for those that do not have a marked version at this point, it is marked as Exhibit 22. We have an Exhibit 21, so we're just going to go and look.
That's fine.
Okay. And I'm Mike. If you would take a look at what I've handed out as Exhibit 22, could you just identify what that is?
Yes, this is a summary report that we track on a weekly basis of the comments that the project receives. It identifies the source of the comment, and we break down the topic of the comment as well.
And so I would offer Exhibit 22.
Mr. Sagsveen.
Are these comments these are in addition to what's been documented in the permit application?
The permit application does include these in the count. I mean, the comments that we have submitted in the application are included in this count. So all the comments received are included.
Are all of the agency, and by agency, is that state and federal?
Yes.
Are all of the agency comments included within the application?
I would have to defer that to Mr. Hunker to answer that, but I believe so, yes.
I don't have any objections to this exhibit.
Exhibit 22 is received. Now, Commissioner Kock.
It's, I guess, the same kind of question I'll probably for the next witness about the contact at the University of North Dakota, just as a heads up as we get into that one.
All right. Anything further from the commission? Anything further, Ms. Smith?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Sagsveen?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean?
No, Your Honor.
All right. I'm going to recess for lunch. It's a bit early, but the next witness is lengthy, as I recall. And this seems to be the best time. I'm sorry, Mr. Hannes. Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't want to interrupt the testimony of a witness if I can. So let's recess for lunch until 12:15. 12:15, please. We still have a ways to go.